The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast. Good to have you with us on Thursday's edition of the podcast. Hope you can join us for a busy day of racing on William Hill Racing Radio. We'll have all of the action covered live from 11:55 a.m. on Thursday morning. So another early start time. Hopefully you can be with us for all of that. However, joining myself, Sam Norris, in the studio on this edition of the podcast is Andy Gibson. Going to take a look ahead to a couple of races at Wincanton on Thursday, and as well as a further review of some of the weekend's action. But first things first, Mr. Gibson, how are you, sir?
I'm very good. Very good, Sam. Yeah, happy to be here. It's my second day.
Yes.
Enjoyed yesterday and looking forward to the rest of the afternoon.
Good. I know you were on podcast duties yesterday, so first things first, thank you very much for going back to back on the podcast. A lesser man would have complained about that, Andy, but not yourself. I know that you reviewed some of the big action on yesterday's edition of the podcast over the course of the weekend, of course, the Fighting Fifth and also the Hennessy. But we're going to take a look at some of the supporting cast, if you like, who, if anything, are going to be potentially more interesting from a betting perspective next time out, because it's fair to say I don't think anything is going to be missed by the layers in either the Fighting Fifth or the Hennessy. But it was a great day racing full stop at Newbury on Saturday. What else sort of caught the eye going forward?
A couple of horses. One in particular was Champ.
Yeah.
Again, a very obvious, a horse that every man and his dog will have seen. But he won off 139. I've just noticed now he's been raised to 150, which is, if anything, quite fair.
Okay.
Because he pulled incredibly hard for the first half of the race. He pulled his way to the front after, I think it was the fifth, maybe sixth hurdle, and looked for all the world like he was going to get swallowed up between two out and one out, and drew away again in fantastic style. He is a really high-class horse, and I think the big dilemma with him is whether or not he's Ballymore or Albert Bartlett. My feeling at the moment would be Ballymore.
Yep.
This was over 2.5 miles. It was soft ground, which you'd have to take on board, because although the Cheltenham Festival was run on soft ground last year, that's usually a once in every 15 years kind of thing. So we'll see on that one. Mm. We'll see how much damage we've done with global warming and whether the soft ground comes around again. But Champ is a very interesting horse for the champion for the Cheltenham Festival, without a doubt.
Mm. Yeah, of course, as you say, at this time of year, you're second guessing as to which target is going to be the one. But yeah, certainly a horse to keep on side going forward. And I know there was one in the novices chase as well.
Yeah, another Nicky Henderson horse, Santini, was obviously very impressive. And I think I would... The problem with Santini is that Nicky Henderson has mentioned several times last season that I can't wait for him to go over fences. I think this is, as much as anything, this is why he was 11-8 favourite and Kilbrick and Storm was 5-2. Now, as it turned out, things didn't work out for Kilbrick and Storm. He was going extremely easily until he made a mistake at the cross fence, and then he dropped out very tamely. I've no idea why. I would imagine they'll find a problem with him, but we don't know. Nicky Henderson mentioned that Santini will come on for the run, but he's a much hyped horse that will always be shorter than he should be. And I noticed after this race he was made something like 3-1 favourite for the RSA.
Yep.
Now, you can completely understand that this is an RSA type trial. He's already won over 3 miles at Aintree as a novice hurdler in a Grade 1. He was third behind Kilbrick and Storm in the Albert Bartlett. You know, he's got a good profile for the race. But all of his form is on soft ground. So once again, you've got that caveat that he's 3-1, 3 months before a race where we have absolutely no idea what the ground is. And you're bound to find five or six horses come through the system that we haven't actually seen yet.
Yeah.
So for him, I think it's a watching brief. He's going to have, what, at least two more runs? And you're only requiring him to make one mistake in those two runs for him to be suddenly available at twice the odds.
Yes.
He is at the moment. So I think that's a very precarious 3-1. Now, if it goes in his favour, of course, he'll be 7-4 on the day and everyone will say, well, 3-1 was a wonderful price.
Yes.
But it isn't. That would just be after timing. That would just be looking at it after the event and saying, in retrospect, it was a good price. There's so much can go wrong. He's a novice chaser. He's going to have two more runs at least, one mistake, and he'll be 6-1.
Yeah. Kempton over Christmas for Santini, do you think, is the next logical step?
Possible. The Warren Greatrex mare, La Vaga Roy, is probably going to go for the Cato Star. I think the difference between them two, she'd have more speed. He will need soft ground. And the difference would be, I think if it came up very soft at Kempton, I doubt she would run, because I think that would be, I think that 3 miles would be at the ceiling of her stamina limitations. So I think if it came up good-ish, good to soft, tending towards good, I'd probably massively favour the mare.
Okay.
Because I think Santini might struggle for pace.
Good stuff. Anything else caught the eye, or shall we tackle Wincanton?
Well, very quickly, I thought there was a horse of Alan King's called Lisp that ran second to Global Citizen.
Yes.
Now, he was given an awful lot to do by Wayne Hutchinson, and that's not a criticism. You can completely understand why he was given a lot to do, because this horse was so keen last year, destroyed his chances two or three occasions, and I think the first port of call on Saturday was to make sure that he got him settled, which was absolutely the right thing to do for the future of the horse. He's only gone up £3, I notice, and he's made up a tremendous amount of ground from two out until the winning line. I think on another day he might have even run out a comfortable winner. I think he's one to follow, and I think he'll win a decent handicap of 140.
Okay, good stuff. That's Lisp then, who was obviously one of those beaten over the course of the weekend. Let's move on to matters closer at hand then, and namely Thursday's racing. We're going to take a look at a couple of races at Wincanton. Now, we'll begin with the 1:30 race. I know your stronger of the two selections comes after this one, but we'll begin with the 1:30, which is a handicap chase over 3 miles and a furlong, a Class 3 event at the time of recording. We've got a field of 10 that go to post, which would open up some each way possibilities, and I know you're of an each way persuasion when it comes to selection in this race.
Yeah, I think I would say that I believe Captain Books will run a really solid race and be thereabouts in this. He was sixth in the Badger Ales in a race where Nichols had two other horses, Present Man the winner and El Bandit, who I think was done by his inexperience.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say that Captain Books would have been the least fancied of the three horses, but he ran a tremendous race on the rails, just probably not lasting home in that very, very competitive race. This is definitely a drop in quality compared to that contest, and it's decent ground. I think he'll just about stay the trip. I think he's going to be on the premises in between the final two fences, and providing he's in each way price, I think he'll give us a good run for our money.
Okay, that's Captain Books in that 1:30 race then at Wincanton. And moving on to the second selection then, which runs in the 2:05, and as you mentioned to me prior to us recording the podcast, there's a horse in here that you've been waiting on somewhat.
Yeah, definitely. Lord Napier, the Peter Bourne horse, is an extremely well handicapped horse off 130. I was at Perth, actually, funny enough, at the end of April, when he won in really impressive fashion that day over 2.5 miles on soft ground. I don't think this 2 miles is ideal for him. I think we'll see him step back up to 2.5 miles after today. But his run in the Swinton was really encouraging with this race tomorrow in mind, where he was 12 lengths sixth behind Silver Streak. And with about two to jump, and it's a long time since I've seen this race, but with about two to jump, there was just a point where they quickened up, and I think he was done by his inexperience. You know, sometimes when you see a horse and he just doesn't know what's required of him, and then all of a sudden he gets going, and he got going too late that day. I'm sure he's well handicapped. I'm not absolutely sure that he's going to be all tuned up for tomorrow, but I do think that he's worth following in his next two or three runs, because he's a well handicapped horse. if he gets outpaced tomorrow, it'll be no surprise to see him run in the very near future back over 2.5 miles, and he's a horse of great interest, Lord Napier.
As Lord Napier, then, who runs in the 2:05 at Wincanton, goes with Andy's earlier selection of Captain Bucks in the race that precedes that Wincanton contest. In fact, and you can hear all of the action there from Wincanton live on Racing Radio alongside Market Raising and Leicester, probably a smattering of Clonmel as well throughout the course of the afternoon on Thursday, and then Chelmsford City will provide an evening card. So that's all to come on Racing Radio on Thursday. Hopefully you can join us all for it from 11:55 a.m. Andy, thank you for that. Informative as always. Best of luck and enjoy the action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.